In our lesson yesterday, we spoke on the subject of the creation. I spoke about the biblical story concerning creation, and we talked about the theory of evolution. Those of us who believe the Bible to be the Word of God, those of us who believe that the Bible is true, inerrant, the perfect and pure Word of God, have no problems believing Genesis 1 and 1. Those who would oppose this version of creation are those who consider the Bible a concoction of weird people who held on to superstitious fables. They say it's nothing more than a fable concocted by crazy people. So I want to tell you about a professor. His name is George Wolfe, professor at Howard University. He was also winner of the Nobel Prize in Biology in 1971. Here's a quote from him. "There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is through spontaneous generation, a rise in evolution. The other is through a supernatural act of God. There is no third possibility. Spontaneous regeneration was scientifically disproved 120 years ago. This leaves us with only one logical conclusion. Life arose as a supernatural act of God." But listen to this. However, the professor goes on to say, "I will not accept that physiologically because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in what I know. I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible." Can you believe that? Those who believe in evolution choose to believe in that which is scientifically impossible. Well, I'm going to leave that part of Genesis, the creation story, and how that God did what he did by his spoken word, except when it came to the human beings. He didn't speak us into existence. We are his handiwork. He formed us with his hands and breathed into that form which he had formed, his breath, and we became a living soul. In the third chapter of Genesis, we find the first talk of sin. Genesis, the third chapter, introduces the evil one, Satan. Although in this chapter, he is referred to only as the serpent. There are many passages in the Bible which verify the serpent as Satan. Adam and Eve both sinned by breaking the one commandment that God placed on them. "Do not eat of this tree," he told them. "You can eat of every other tree, but not this tree." Satan's temptation of Eve was typical of all sin. The first thing he did was make her to question God's integrity, to question whether God actually said or actually meant what he said. Adam and Eve both ate of the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible tells us that Adam was first formed, then Eve. It also tells us that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. No matter who did it first, they both sinned. And John tells us that sin is the transgression of the law of God. They broke the law which God had made for them. They came under the curse of God's judgment. And what was the immediate results of their sin? It was death. Romans, the 5th chapter, tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passes upon all men, for that all have sinned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous." Jesus is known as the second Adam. The Bible says the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Oh, glory. I know you're saying, "But they didn't die." But oh, yes, they did. They died. Oh, yes, they did. After they had eaten of this forbidden fruit, they became a walking dead couple, a walking dead man, a walking dead woman. You say, "Brother, how can that be?" Well, let's look at the story of men who have been sentenced to be executed by the state or the federal government. You've heard how that once they have been taken out of their cell and walked down that corridor to the death chamber, and the man in charge of their walk calls out, "Dead man walking." But the man doesn't fall down dead. The man keeps walking. You say, "How can it be a dead man walking?" It's because that he is on a walk. He is on a path which will end in his totally annihilation from off of this earth. He's headed straight to destruction. There is no possibility that he will ever see another day unless and except someone with the authority to do it gives him a pardon. Someone with the authority to pardon him. That's the way it was with Adam and Eve. God says, "When you sin, you shall surely die." And from the moment they ate of the fruit, they were just like the death row inmate. They began that long journey to destruction. But friend, God was willing to forgive. God was willing to pardon them. He promised Eve that her seed should crush the head of the serpent. He promised her that there would be a redeemer. Oh, the love and grace of God. Even though he pronounced judgment, he also pronounced mercy. You also may be walking down a road of doom, but I'm here to tell you about one that has a pardon to offer you. He can set you free. You can live again. You can become a partaker of his holy nature. I would encourage you to accept him today. Come to him for mercy today.